Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
This day's events of gridiron history has never been so interesting because in this episode, we discuss the opening days of the WFL way back in 1974, the anniversaries of some Super Bowl studs retirement, and a study of the original NFL team called the Buccaneers. We have this and more coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we are podcasting from America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So in taking the snap from the sportshistorynetwork.com and handing off to pigskindispatch.com, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of pigskindispatch.com, and welcome to the Pigpen, which is your few minutes each day where you can escape the real world and go into some great gridiron history, because we bring it to you each and every day, one day at a time. And today's time is about July 11th in football history, and we have some great things to bring you today. And we're going to start right off with our football history headlines. And July 11th, 1926, the Los Angeles Buccaneers franchise forms. The team dissolved after playing just one season, but according to the American Football Database website, the Buccaneers were a traveling team in the National Football League during the 1926 season. The team never actually played a league game in Los Angeles. It was operated out of Chicago with players from California colleges. And according to the database article, historian Michael McCambridge has stated that the Buccaneers originally planned to play in Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, but due to a Coliseum commission banning pro teams from its stadium at that time, the franchise became a road team after the decision. The Bucs did have some success, though, too, as a traveling team, posting a respectable 6-win, 3-loss, and 1-tie record in the NFL and in 1926. The last game of the Buccaneers' existence was an exhibition game against, in quotation marks, their crosstown rivals, the first edition of the American Football League's Los Angeles Wildcats in a game played in San Francisco, with the Buccaneers being shut out 17-0 by the Wildcats on January 23, 1927. Just to note, the Wildcats never played in LA either in their first edition of the American Football League. Now let's go to our newspapers.com football history headline of the day, and it comes from the July 11th, 1974 edition of the Daily Reporter newspaper in Dover, Ohio, when they printed these block letters at the top of the page. WFL is born. Crowds bigger than predicted in opener. TV tilt tonight. The World Football League debuts as teams played in the new league's first games. Now, the bulk of the opening day games were played in the night prior on Wednesday, July 10th, 1974, but the final action of the inaugural week was scheduled for Thursday, July 11th. The WFLfootball.tripod.com website says that the scores for week one were as follows. The Memphis team knocking off Detroit 34-15 in front of a crowd of 30,122. The Hawaiians lost at Florida by a score of 7-8, with 18,000 looking on. Houston was shut out 17-0 by Chicago, with 42,000 in attendance. Portland got beat up by Philadelphia 8-33 with a crowd of over 55,000 watching. And Southern California lost 11-7 with a nice group of fans numbering 53,000 in the stands. The Thursday, July 11th game in that week one finale was the New York taking one on the chin at Jacksonville with a 7-14 in front of a summertime crowd of over 59,000 people. If you want to be able to read through some old articles like we did through the Daily Reporter, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you get access to over 640 million pages worth of news from the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, and more, dating all the way back to 1798. get a free one-week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. And with a paid subscription, you'll be helping to support the production of this and other Sports History Network shows. Once again, those free 7 days, sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. And I think you're going to enjoy that one. July 11, 1976, the first American football club formed in Austria, called the FAAFC. Football in Austria has since developed into a league that plays according to the NCAA's rules that we play here in the States. July 11, 2007, LaDainian Tomlinson wins honors at the 15th annual ESPY Awards for his great exploits during that season of 2006. July 11, 2000, future Hall of Fame Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Michael Irvin retired. According to an NFL.com, Michael was a three-time Super Bowl champion, five-time Pro Bowl selection, 1991 first-team All-Pro in that year that he ended up leading the NFL with 1,523 receiving yards. He also was selected to the 1990s All-Decade Team. Number 88, played 12 seasons for the Cowboys and retired as Dallas's all-time leader in receptions with 750 and 11,904 receiving yards. Now, he is in second place behind Jason Witten in both categories. July 11, 2011, linebacker Mike Vrabel retired as a player. Vrabel, too, he was a three-time Super Bowl champion, but with the New England Patriots. The NFL.com informs us, the readers, that Mike was a 2007 first-team All-Pro and a 2008 Pro Bowl selection. The great linebacker played 14 seasons in the league with the Steelers, Patriots, and Chiefs, and he currently is the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. Now let's go to some Hall of Fame birthdays. I guess just one Hall of Fame birthday for this July 11th. 1915, Houston, Texas, Purdue University's halfback from 1935 through the 1937 season, Cecil Isbell was born. The National Football Foundation, in their web bio on Cecil, says that this player excelled as a runner, passer, and punter. In 1936, he was responsible for 15 of Purdue's 23 touchdowns. And in 1937, he received All-American mention. In 1938, he was named the most valuable player as the College All-Stars beat the Washington Redskins, the champions of the NFL, 28-16. And Cecil Isbell received the great honor of being selected for inclusion in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1967. After his college playing days were over, he played for the Green Bay Packers in 1938 through 1942 and went into coaching in both the college and the professional ranks. Now, we do also have some birthdays of some players not yet in the Hall of Fame. July 11, 1935, Darryl Dess, his offensive lineman from North Carolina State University that played in the NFL for Pittsburgh, the New York Giants, and Washington. July 11, 1959, Jeff Kemp. He was a quarterback out of Dartmouth that played in the NFL for the Rams and the Niners. July 11, 1981, Miami, Florida. Wide receiver Andre Johnson, who played for the Houston Texans, Indianapolis Colts, and the Tennessee Titans, was born. July 11, 1990, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Arizona Cardinals cornerback Patrick Peterson, he celebrates his day of birth. In July 11, 1995, Miami, Florida, Los Angeles Chargers defensive end Joey Bosa, he arrived into the world on that day. And for more stats on people born on July 11th, check out profootballreference.com. You'll see all the professional football players who were born on July 11th. We have a link on our website, pigskindispatch.com, for the July 11th football history headlines that you can follow to get the Pro Football Reference to find even more birthdays of pro players. So we really appreciate you joining us today. You hope you'll join us again each and every day that we bring you the football history headlines, which is every day of the year. It drops every night at midnight. To make sure that you don't miss a step, you can follow us on your favorite podcast provider, or you can email us at pigskindispatch.com. Get on our email list, and we will send you an email each and every morning shortly before 7 a.m. Eastern to remind you of all the great blog posts, podcasts, and everything else that's going on with pigskindispatch.com, so you can have some easy links to click to go right to the podcast and blog posts. I think you'll really enjoy that, all of our content that's coming out that day. You can also go to the sportshistorynetwork.com where Pigskin Dispatch and about 20 other podcasts are there each and every day, bringing you some great sports history to enjoy, to become the headquarters of sports yesteryear. I think you'll really enjoy that. And don't forget about that newspapers.com special offer there, free 7 days, sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. And you'll have a real benefit of having newspapers.com to read each and every day also. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.